But it's good to be with you all again. I hope you've been enjoying our series on the Ten Commandments so far. I know I certainly have. And in fact, it actually occurred to me that some of you may even have been especially excited for this week, because of course we are on commandment number 5, which is what? Only a father, yeah. At least some of you have been listening, which is perfect. Yes, as Lama said, we are halfway through our series now, and we are on commandment number 5, honor your mother and father. As I was preparing this sermon for the last couple of weeks, I was just taking great pleasure in imagining all of our church parents rubbing their hands together in anticipation. And now that I think about it, our 10:30 congregation, we're probably just a little bit distressed that we sent the children away this morning. It's like, bring them back, they need this. But they had their own program. But what I wonder is, has this particular commandment ever stuck out to you as particularly interesting, beside the obvious reasons for those of you who are parents? One of the first questions that came to my mind this week was, why on a list of 10 specific commandments, the top 10, so to speak, why does God include this one, honor your mother and father? And I find it curious, because while it is, of course, something that all of us can agree is a very good thing, we could also say that to love your spouse is very important. And yet that is not given here as a specific commandment. It's very interesting. And then we can add to this the fact that honoring your parents is the first commandment with horizontal implications. The first 4 of the 10 commandments show us how to relate vertically to God. And the last 6, roughly speaking, show us how to relate horizontally with people around us. And so not only is honoring your parents listed as the first of these horizontal commandments, but it's also the first one that comes with a blessing attached. The Apostle Paul notes this in Ephesians 6, where he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your mother and father, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you in the land and that you may have long life. So the plot thickens, because it seems as if Israel's collective obedience to this specific command was crucial to remaining in the promised land God had given them with his blessing. Conversely, the very next chapter in Exodus 21 tells us that to disobey this command would earn you swift punishment. To severely dishonor your parents, such as by lifting your hand to them in anger, or perhaps by cursing them, could see you sentenced to death. Now, before we take this promise of relative prosperity and the curse of death to be something to mean that God's salvation for Israel was based on their works and obedience, let's just take a moment to remind ourselves again of verse 2, which we read earlier. Verse 2 is the entire premise on which the commandments rest. And it says, for I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the place of slavery. So we need to remember that at the time of giving this commandment, God had already delivered his people free of charge. It's fair to say that Israel definitely didn't meet any special requirements while they were in Egypt. There wasn't much to be desired about them. They had been slaves for hundreds of years. But what we might remember from way back in Genesis 12 is that God had made a promise to Abraham. He had promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations and that somehow all the peoples of the earth would be blessed through him. It was a promise that was dependent entirely on God's goodness, for Abraham was too old to have any children, never mind enough that would span out to eventually become many nations worth. But through God's providence, he did have children. They did become a great nation. And so, at this moment in time, God continued to fulfill his promise to Abraham by saving his people from Egypt. And so, at this moment, as they have just about to enter the promised land, as they have been given the Ten Commandments, and with all of this information to whet our appetites, let's actually look at the commandment itself. So here it is. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may have long life in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, I don't know about you, but on paper, I think this commandment seems simple enough to grasp. I mean, respect your mum and dad, stay in school, don't do drugs, all the usual things. And that's well and good. But actually, when we begin to look a little more closely, there's a lot more to it than that. And I think the first thing to note about the fifth commandment is that when we are told to honor our parents, it actually isn't a passive command, such as don't do drugs, although that is certainly recommended. It's much more than that. Because when God gives them this command, he is not simply asking Israel to not behave badly. He's commanding them to actively honor their parents. And what I think gives us a pretty big clue that this is the case is the fact that this word honor is one which God typically uses of himself. God uses this word honor many times to explain to Israel how they are to relate to him. And if that's the case, then that means that God's people are to esteem their parents highly. They are to recognize that their status is weighty, that it is deserving of respect. God's people are to show their parents the kind of respect that obeys their requests, not just on the occasions where they want to and they just so happen to agree that it's a good idea. Now, as I say that, I certainly don't want to be presumptuous here this afternoon, but I would go ahead and dare to wager that that's something a few of us have had trouble with, either in the past or perhaps even still today. Case in point, hands up anyone in the room who's ever been a teenager. And I can see you, you definitely all have. Yeah, who remembers those days when it felt like the worst idea in the world to do what your mum and dad were asking of you? Who remembers those days when it felt like they didn't understand, when they didn't know anything? And yet, despite the countless times that we probably tried our parents' patience, I hope the experience for the vast majority of us was that our parents continued to love us, that they continued to patiently discipline us in the hope that we would grow up to be wiser and more mature people. And if you think about that picture of parents and their patience and their loving kindness, you start to notice a little bit of a parallel, because there is a parallel between parents raising their children and our Heavenly Father raising us as we mature in Christ. In fact, you could say that the parallel was clear to God's people long before Jesus came to earth. Because while Israel was still enslaved in Egypt, God said this to Moses. He said, "And you will say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. I told you, let my son go that he may worship me, but you refused. Look, I am about to kill your firstborn son." And I think we can see pretty clearly from this passage alone that God does not simply use sentimental language. His people are very much family, and family is a serious business in his eyes. We see here it was so serious, in fact, that Egypt lost an entire generation of its firstborns because Pharaoh so arrogantly tried to deny God his. And so with that in mind, I hope that helps us begin to understand why the commandment to honor your mother and father is such a serious one. It's because, ultimately, this command is a picture of our relationship with God himself. Because just as God gives all of us life, so our parents are co-workers with him in providing that life. just as they raise us from childhood to maturity, so God raises us spiritually as we grow in knowledge and faith. As our parents teach us right from wrong, so they reward good behavior and punish bad. They do all of this with the authority of the ultimate lawgiver, to whom every one of us will one day have to give an account. And so with that in mind, we can recognize that for a child to disobey and to rebel against their parents, the most foundational of all human relationships, is to mirror our rebellion against God himself. For children to disobey their parents, to dishonor them, is to repeat the same mistake that Adam and Eve made in the garden, where they esteemed God lightly, where they failed to trust that he knew best, that he had a right to instruct them and to determine the boundaries of their freedom. Through this command, in both its promise of blessing and its warning of death, God was teaching Israel about their relationship to him. And so I think, anyway, that it's no coincidence that Jesus, who is the fullest revelation, the fullest expression of God's character, teaches us to address him as our heavenly Father. Out of all the words and the images that he could have used, he chose to use this one. Furthermore, I think it's no coincidence that in Mark 10, Jesus says this. He says, "Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." He's saying, in other words, that we need to receive it with total, undeniable faith that a child has. A child who loves and depends on their parents to provide for them, even in the situations where they don't understand how they could be able to do it. I think that's a beautiful image, and I'm sure you do as well. But the unfortunate news is that it's also a very sad image. Because as you may know, Israel ultimately didn't live long and happily in the land which God gave them. Eventually they were conquered and they were taken into exile, first by the Assyrians and then later by Babylon. And this happened because in spite of God's incredible patience, hundreds of years of disobedience and contempt for his law and his blessings eventually meant that they got to experience firsthand God's curse. But my question this afternoon is, aside from Israel, how have you stacked up to this command so far? Either now or in the past, how consistently do you feel you have honored the guardians that have been entrusted with your care? Because I think that even if you have a fairly good relationship with your parents, even if you think you've done a fairly admirable job of honoring them so far, I'd wager there have still been a few sketchy moments over the years. There have been times where you've been ashamed of yourself for the things that you've said and done, for the ways that you've treated them. I know I have a lot to answer for in that regard. But further than this, beyond the immediate consequences of that, the most uncomfortable truth about commandment number 5, honor your mother and father, is that it directly confronts us with our sin and rebellion against God himself, and it magnifies it 1,000 times over. We know, because we meet here and we confess it every week, we know that our Heavenly Father has not been honored as he should. All of us know that we have not nearly given him the praise and the respect that he deserves. And we know, ultimately, that like Israel, we deserve to be cursed for continuing in our own rebellion against him ever since the fall in the Garden of Eden. But, all of that said, the good news is that God knew this, and he planned for it. You see, you may or may not be aware, all throughout the Old Testament, alongside God's warnings of punishment for his disobedient people, right alongside those warnings, there often came promises of rescue and promises of mercy. One of the best known of these is in Jeremiah 32, where God says, "I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me forever, for their own good and for the good of their children after them. He says, I will make with them an everlasting covenant, that I will not turn away from doing good to them. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts, that they may not turn from me. And in time, God did precisely that. Because knowing our total inability to keep his law perfectly, he sent Jesus to accomplish that for us. And so as Jesus presented himself on the cross as a perfect sacrifice, as the obedient Son of the Father, he became the only one capable of paying that unpayable debt that we as thankless, rebellious children continue to rack up every single day of our lives. And furthermore, what's even more amazing than that is that after he reconciled our broken relationship to the Father, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to live in us so that we who died to our sin, died to our old sinful, rebellious lives, can now live with a love and respect for God's law that resides in the heart. It is not simply an outward action. We're able, because of Jesus, to follow God's commandments out of thankfulness for what he has done for us, and never out of obligation, as if we could somehow pay him back or earn his forgiveness that he's freely given us. And so as we think about that, I hope it helps us begin to realize just how gracious God has been in providing parents to raise children. Loving carers who show grace and mercy on a daily basis as they teach unruly kids right from wrong and set them on a straight path so that they can have fullness of life. But just before we finish with some implications for all of these things, I just wanted to take a second to acknowledge one very real objection that some of us in the room may be thinking about. And of course that is, what if my parents weren't good? What about all of these people who didn't get to experience the love and patience that you've talked so much about? What if your parents weren't anything like God? How do you honor them? Do you blindly follow their commands, even when it would be sinful to do so? And all I want to say to such a complex question like that is really two things. Firstly, we know that nobody, not even our parents, have the right to tell us to sin or to do something that would lead to sin against God. But the other side of that is that we don't get to write off parents either, even when we deem them to do a poor job. The Apostle Paul, as speaking about Christian obedience to the government in Romans 13, he has this to say, and I think it applies very similarly to children and parents as well. Listen to this. He says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God, and consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. Those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. In other words, he says, God is sovereign. God is in control, and he knows exactly whose authority he has placed each of us under. And so with that, we can be assured that he will give us the grace to work through even the most difficult situations appropriately and in a way that honors him. But with that, we know that outright rejection and rebellion against his established order is never the answer, even when we have guardians who sometimes abuse their power. And so with the negative side out of the way, very quickly to finish, how do we live positively in light of this great but challenging command to honor our parents? Well, firstly, I think we could start by taking care in how we speak about them. Probably most of us here aren't necessarily living with our parents anymore. Some of us may not even have parents who are still alive at this point. But regardless, I'd say most of us probably talk about them from time to time. And I think whether it's bringing up a memory of them in conversation, whether it is recalling how they responded to a big life event like the birth of a child, or even when we're talking about the challenges of caring for them in old age. Let's remember, in light of God's good commandment, that we need to speak about them as those that God sovereignly placed in care over us, because they possess authority in their position and they deserve a measure of respect, regardless of how good a job we personally think they've done. Another very simple way that we as adult children can respect them is to give them a little bit of our time. We can check in on them. Let them know that after investing in us for 18 years or however long it may have been, let them know that we're still doing okay and that, in fact, we like to see them sometimes. Maybe you could let them have some time with their grandkids. You could certainly pray for them. And if they don't happen to know the Lord, consider them of high enough value that it is well worth attempting those awkward conversations about why they need Jesus and the great forgiveness that he provides for them. I could keep going on and on. I could keep listing things like that, very practical things. But ultimately, I think the key to honoring your parents is to do it with discernment. Because in one sense, as we mentioned earlier, to honor your mother and father, it's a very specific command. But in another sense, it's also quite open. It leaves room for nuance, and it leaves room for wisdom, depending on the situation and the quality of your relationship. And so in light of that, I think we would all do well to remember the guidance we have for following all of God's law in Deuteronomy 6. It says this: "These words I am commanding you today are to be upon your hearts, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up." In other words, it is with constant reflection and with prayer that we can discern how each situation in our lives can be approached for God's glory. We need these things because relationships are complicated, and often they can be fractured and unstable because sinners tend to be like that. But this also works the other way too, for those of us who are parents of children. What I want to say is that I think this commandment encourages us to remember that parents are an important image of God's care and authority for their children. We do well to remember Ephesians 6 again, where Paul not only tells children to obey their parents, but he also commands parents not to provoke their children to anger. So parents, don't be hypocrites. Don't punish your children while you overlook your own sins. Don't hold them to account for their screw-ups while you never apologize for your own. Strive to be the kind of parents that children will desire to honor, because I think that there's an implicit assumption in this command that parents should live in a way that's worthy of the honor to which they're due. And so, with all of that said, there is no doubt that attempting to obey commandment number 5, honor your parents, requires a lot of self-reflection. But what I want to send you away with, the piece of encouragement to remember, is that through all that difficulty, just remember, for those of us here who have placed our trust in Christ, who have surrendered the idea that we can earn our way to God, that we can be obedient enough, that we can be good enough to earn his forgiveness. For those of us here who have done that, remember that whenever you struggle with this, or indeed with any of God's commands, remember that his son Jesus fulfilled that law perfectly so that you wouldn't have to, and that he brought you back into relationship with your heavenly Father, who patiently bears with your weaknesses and with your failings, and he will give you strength to live in light of your new status as a treasured child of God. Let's take a moment to pray as we close. Lord, we thank you that in your goodness and your mercy that you have provided the family, and that you have given parents to guide and lead and raise children, and so give them an example of what it means to be loved, cared for, and raised by our Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son, who was totally obedient to you, to stand in our place on the cross, so that we as distant and rebellious children have been reconciled to our Father. And so we asked, in light of all of this, that you would help us to honor our parents, and that you would help us to love them, to be a witness to them for you, if they don't yet know you, and that all of us would be encouraged as the family of God, that we are forgiven and we can live in light of your forgiveness. And so do all things to the glory of your name. Amen.